We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now. Because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, friends and enemies. You are listening to Signs and Wonders, the broadcast that came right on time. I'm your host, Dawid Yakub Maccabeus. I'm coming to you live from Sweden. Today's date is April 2nd, 2011. Today is an extremely special day. This is the best day of the year. Why? Because we celebrate two things this day. We celebrate double freedom. Double freedom. Freedom from physical bondage in Egypt, and freedom from spiritual bondage of the principalities of this world. Yes, my brothers and sisters, on this day, the 14th day of the first month of the year, is the Passover. Okay? Now, I speak about this because A lot of us do not understand that times have been changed. Times have been manipulated. And if we don't see that, then we will continue to be fooled and blinded. Now, I'm going to work on a video to really explain this. And it should be out within a few weeks or so. But in the meantime, we are going to do this broadcast. Now, I had to redo this broadcast because what happened was when I tried to do it the first time, I had a denial of service attack. And what that is when someone takes the ICMP, they do an ICMP flood. And what that does is it interrupts the messages. So when you try to speak, the information is traveling across the internet, and then they flood the information channels. So when I try to speak over Blog Talk, it doesn't really go through because they're all trying to go into one channel at the same time. And what happens is since they're sharing packets, it gets flooded up. Okay, now that's just a quick explanation. Now what this means is that somebody actually created a denial of service for my particular message so it wouldn't be heard. And therefore, I had to cancel the show. Now, that's not depressing. Or we can actually look at it as a good thing. Because what this means is that this message is dangerous. And if somebody is going to go through all that to prevent the message, then you should listen to what I'm trying to say. Like I said before, we need to download these broadcasts while we still can. Okay? Time is running out. I don't know how much I can emphasize that. Now, before I begin, I'm going to open up in a word of prayer. Okay? Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Yahushua's precious name. I pray that you continue to bind and bound the demonic forces I pray that you continue to humble my heart, Heavenly Father. I pray that you continue to just work within my life. I thank you for my new friends. I ask that you bless them with this message. I ask you, Heavenly Father, to be patient with them. Mind control was harsh, Heavenly Father. Deprogramming is a process, Heavenly Father. Father, I ask that you just be patient with your children, Heavenly Father. Let them know the truth. If I could be honored to give that truth, I pray that you let me be that one. Open the eyes of those that need to see. I pray this prayer in the name of Yahushua's precious name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, thank you so much for listening to that prayer. And I really do mean it. If you knew what I knew, I'm hoping that when I make this this video about the calendars, you can see it. Because numbers do not lie. Numbers are exact, and I can prove to you through numbers, how things were manipulated, okay? They have been manipulated for the past 2,000 years, and there are numbers to prove this, because numbers don't lie, okay? Now, I say this because I need y'all to pray for me that I get this video out, okay? Pray for me that I get it out, and once I get it out, it's going to answer a lot of these questions. Because numbers don't lie. Alright, now, I'm going to play something for you. This broadcast is called A Man Like Moses. But I actually changed the name. It's actually going to be called False Prophets and A Man Like Moses. And the reason I'm going to change it to False Prophets and A Man Like Moses is because I listened to something recently. And do you ever listen to something and you don't really get it until you heard it a couple times? That's why I say listen to these broadcasts a couple times, because then after a while things start to sink in. And after I play this audio file, you understand what I'm talking about, okay? All right, now listen to this, and then afterwards I'll comment on it. Okay, here we go.
Talk about a man coming, the like of Moses. You don't need to know his picture. You just need to look for the circumstance and see what voice, what program is rising up among an enslaved people, and look again and you will see the man like Moses. Jesus could not have been the man like Moses. He wasn't born a slave. He wasn't born in a strange land among strange people. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea. In Palestine, Moses came along. Moses was like grammar school. And Moses said, he's coming. He passed us on to Jesus. Now the problem is, Jesus also passed us on. Go back and read John 14, 15, 16, 17 chapters. John, Jesus speaking, says, it is expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter cannot come unto you. But if I go away,
I will send him unto you. And when he is come. And now he's talking about somebody else. He didn't say, and when I return. No. When he is come. The Spirit of truth. He, not I, he will guide you into all truth. Come on now. Jesus speaking, he said, a generation shall not pass before you see these things. Many generations have passed. Scripture is not wrong. Our understanding of it needs to be corrected. And once our understanding is corrected, we are all on the same page. Nobody can divide us.
Y'all heard it, right? He said, Jesus cannot be the man like Moses. In a way, he's correct, because the name is not Jesus, it's Yahushua. But those that are blind will think that he is referring to Yahushua, because they have not yet learned the true name. They have not yet learned that this name was manipulated and changed 500 years ago. See, but that's another subject for another time. What we're speaking of right now is what Minister Farrakhan has said. Now, the first time I heard this, I didn't really pay it no mind, because I wasn't listening 100%. But now when I listen to this, and then he uses the Comforter, I mean, do you understand what this means? Do you even understand what the Comforter is? I mean, this is the spirit of Ayah given to Yahushua for us. The gifts that are supposed to be received, the gifts that are given to the Gentiles and the Hebrews. Now, many of you are resistant to that, the fact that the spirit of the Most High is given to the Gentiles, which I don't know why. But, see, the covenant had a purpose, okay? The purpose was to bring that spirit to man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, do anybody understand what the judgment is? So what is the judgment? Understand this. Judgment cannot come while the crime is being committed. Judgment will come after the crime is committed. Do you understand what I'm talking about? What I'm saying is that we are in the midst of these demonic beings committing the crimes. These are the children of those, okay, that have fallen. And they are permitted to do what they do on this earth. And the Most High is saying, okay, you have free reign. What are you going to do with your time? And what are they doing? They're denying the spirit of the Most High. Now, my question to you, do you know who you are? Do you even know that you are a spiritual being? If you don't know you're a spiritual being, how do you know if you're not being judged right now? Now, this is deep, brothers and sisters. But listen to me. We are at a time when the blinders should be taken off. Okay? Now, back to Mr. Farrakhan. I'm going to speak about what he says. A man like Moses. Okay. Well, we're going to go to the verses and scriptures in which Mr. Farrakhan talks about. And I wonder why nobody is really calling him on this. None of our great ministers, Jakes or Cleflo or Who are the other ones out there? Al Sharpton, you know, all these ministers. I mean, they should be like, wait a minute now, Farrakhan. Wait, hold on now. Did you say something about the comforter? Hold on. No, you didn't hear nothing. Jesse Jackson, you know. Isn't Reverend Jesse Jackson didn't say nothing. He didn't say, oh, hold on now, Mr. Farrakhan. No, none of them said anything. They let this man just have free reign. All right, now, so, let's begin. But we're going to start with Deuteronomy 19, okay? Not Deuteronomy 18:18. Deuteronomy 18:19, okay? Now, it says, when thou art come into the land which the Most High thy Yah giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divinations, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. Deuteronomy 18:11. Or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necronomicon. Deuteronomy 18:12. For all those that these things are an abomination unto Yahuwah, and because of these abominations, the Most High, thy Yah, doeth drive them out from before thee. And Deuteronomy 18:13. Thou shalt be perfect with the Most High, thy Yah. Okay. Now, don't just overlook these first five verses. We have to put these into context. Now it says, the abomination of those nations. Okay? Now understand what's happening. This is Moses speaking to the children of Yaakov. And he's speaking about the land before them. What is the land before them? This is the land of Israel. Okay, is Israel, where we look at right now. But this is before they inherited the land. He's saying, look, we have to go in there and we have to clean it up. Now the question is, why should they have to clean it up? Why was this land so wicked and evil? And who was actually in the land? Now, as we read scriptures, we are told that the children of the fallen angels, we're still in this land. Now listen what was going on. It says they were sacrificing their children to the fire. This is human sacrifices. Do we see human sacrifices going on today? Have you heard of Satanism? Human sacrifice rituals? They were consulting the dead through familiar spirits. Okay? Consulting the dead through familiar spirits. Do we see that on TV? Now, they were enchanters, witches, and observers of the stars. Okay? Observer of the stars. These videos that I'm going to put together, they're going to talk about the great calendar and the astrology and the zodiac signs. This is the root of their cult. This is the root. It's their calendar. They go by this. Okay? Now understand, we are fighting principalities, wickedness. Okay? These are demons. If you notice, okay, I want you to notice something. These are the same characters. Like I said, these are the same characters of the occult. Now, remember how I said charmer three times? Now, I want you to look up the association with that name, Charmer. It's going to mean a lot when you actually when you find out who that name Charmer belongs to. All right? Now, we're going to read Deuteronomy 18:14. All right? Now, stay with me now. For these nations, which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observer of times and unto divinations, diviners, but as for thee, okay, the Most High thy Yah have not suffered thee so to do. Now pay attention. Alright? Now here is one of the verses that Minister Farrakhan left out. Deuteronomy 18:15, the Most High thy Yah will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me, and unto him ye shall hearken. Deuteronomy 18:16, according to all that thou desirest of thy Most High thy Yah in Horeb, and in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of thy Yah, neither let me see this great fire any more, and more that I die. Deuteronomy 18:17. And the Most High Yah said unto me, thy have well spoken, which thy have spoken. Okay, now, we're going to break this down. Okay? There was so much in there, but a lot of people overlook it. But this is a prophecy now. Okay? Remember, this is the Most High speaking to Moses. This is a prophecy. All right? These are instructions slash prophecies. Okay, now, we understand. Here we are speaking about Yahushua. Notice, he says in Deuteronomy 18:15, it says, like unto me. He says, the Most High, thy Yah, will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thy brethren, like unto me. This is like a Yah, okay? I'm saying. It reads, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. Now, like I said, where it says unto thee, this means from the seed of Yaakov. This is very important. Now, I say this because it is key for our understanding. Okay, now, I'm going to read the book of Matthew. This book of Matthew is going to edify Deuteronomy. Okay? Matthew is going to edify Deuteronomy. Why? Because this is prophecy being fulfilled. Now, listen. Matthew 17:1. And after 6 days, okay? Now, remember, it says after 6 days. What happens after 6 days? The Sabbath. Okay? After 6 days, the Sabbath. So basically, this is happening on the Sabbath. Okay? Now it reads, and after 6 days, Yahushua taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, okay, and bringeth them up in a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face, Yahushua's face, did shine as the sun. Okay? And his remnant was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. And now we're going to go down to Matthew 17:5, all right? While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which is said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Matthew 17:6. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were so afraid. And Yahushua came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. Okay? Now, this right here, okay? This right here is edifying Deuteronomy 18. All right? It's edifying Deuteronomy 18. Now, I'm going to do something, though. I'm actually going to read Matthew 4 because I skipped over that, and I want to make sure I get it in. All right? It says, from Deuteronomy 3, it says, and behold, there appears unto them Moses, Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Yahushua, is it good for us to be here? If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee and one for the Most High and one for Elias. You know what I mean? Then he says, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Now, I wanted to reread that because I don't want to cut anything out, because this is how they deceive us, by cutting things out and taking things from other places and putting them together. And, you know, this study, I want to make sure that I don't do that. I want to make sure that I try to read things within their content. Now we're going to get back to this. All right, now Deuteronomy 18:15. Okay, now remember, I want you to remember what was going on in Matthew. Now we're going to read Deuteronomy 18:15. The Most High thy Yah will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. You know what I'm saying? This is saying that the prophet will be like Ayah. Not like man, but like Ayah. Now, we find a root, okay, of both of these books in the book of Exodus. Now, why am I saying this, first of all, before I read the book of Exodus? I'm saying this because the audio file that we opened the show with, not the one with Martin, but the one with Farrakhan, he is telling us that, you know, he says, Jesus cannot be the man like Moses. And then he says, the Comforter was not in the time of Yahushua, because the generation will not pass. And then he says that we don't know how to read Scripture. No, my brother, you don't know how to read Scripture. When he talks about a generation will not pass, he's speaking that in the book of Matthew later on. And he's speaking about the parable of the fig tree growing the figs. That generation will not pass once they start to wake up and find out who they are. Okay? Now, when Yahushua was talking about the Comforter, he was saying that when I go away, this Comforter is going to come as a replacement. Not really a replacement, an edification. And this Spirit is going to dwell in you, disciples. And it's going to happen in your generation while you are alive. And it's going to comfort you in the fact that I am with you. Now, how can Farrakhan take this beautiful message away by saying it's Elijah Muhammad? Now, I'm going to play another file for you later. It's Farrakhan in 1965 when he coins that phrase, a man like Moses. But as for now, we're going to continue. Now, Exodus 24:14 is going to edify Matthew and Deuteronomy. And it reads, and Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. Just like in Matthew, the cloud covered the mount, right? And the glory of the Most High abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. 6 days again, just like in Matthew. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Seventh day, Sabbath. What did I tell you? Matthew on the Sabbath. Okay, now this is Exodus. This is the first five books. That's Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, okay? And what that says, excuse me, then it says, Exodus 24:17, and the sight of the glory of Yahuwah was like devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Yaakov. All right? Now, the fire, listen to this now, the fire on the top of the mountain is a representation of the Most High. They say, like devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Yaakov. Okay? This is the children of Yaakov. All of them were looking at this mountain, and they saw it was like fire. Now, when we read Matthew 17:2, it says, he was on the mountain and was transfigured before them. Right? Just like your parallel. Was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his remnant was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elias, talking with him. Okay? And what did the disciples do after this? They fell on their face because they were so afraid. Now, what did the children do in Exodus 24? It says, his eyes, it goes, children of Jacob, then it says 18, and Moses went unto the midst of the cloud and gat him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Okay? Now, 40 days and 40 nights he's in the mount. Who else spent 40 days and 40 nights? Yahushua. You know what I'm saying? Now, how can you deny that, Farrakhan? If you read the word. I mean, come on now. Do you want to save us or kill us? Do you want to free us or put us in bondage? You got to answer for this. Now, if you're paying attention, you would notice the likeness of these events. Like I said, the 6 days, the mountain, the cloud, the devouring fire. Okay, the fire is like the sun. All this is in parallel to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, book of Exodus. And like I said, the reference to the 40 days and the 40 nights. Now, there's one thing that most people miss. And this is very special. This is like one of those gifts that I get sometimes. It's going to speak about Mount Sinai. Okay? Now, Mount Sinai and Mount Horeb, which is H-O-R-E-B, they are mentioned in Deuteronomy 18:16, all right? Now, Mount Sinai is not mentioned in Deuteronomy 18:16, but Mount Horeb is mentioned in Deuteronomy 18:16. Now, we're going to read Deuteronomy 18:16, and I'm going to explain why I'm speaking about this, okay? Because it's very important. And it says, according to all that thou desirest of the Most High, thy Yah, and Horeb, and the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of Ayah, neither let me see the great fire any more, that I die not. Now, if you notice, this verse, 18:16, is the same as Matthew 17:7, right? It says, and Yahushua came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. Okay, why? Oh, I'm sorry, let me correct that. First, we have to start with Matthew 17:6. It says, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Yahushua came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. Right? So then we go to 18:16 in Deuteronomy. It says, and according to all this that thou desirest of the Most High, thy Yah and Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of Ayah, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die. All right? Now, to me, it's clear. All right? And I ain't special. All I'm doing is reading. It is clear as day. But yet, people want to confuse it and listen to this fool. All right, now listen. Why is this important? Because when you look up both of these words, Sinai and Horeb, we get two different meanings. Okay? Now remember, the Most High places things in the Word. These crazy people, these church fathers, these demonic beings try to confuse us, but there's always something placed that they don't quite get. And I'm going to show you one of those things right now. Now we're looking up the word Horeb, right? What does Horeb mean? Horeb. Desolate, okay, and it says desolate, Chorab, a generic name for the scenic mountains, Horeb. You also find words like lie, destroy, decay, waste, slay, and dried up. All right. Now, when you look at Horeb, we have some definitions for it. Now, when we look up Sinai, okay, the word Sinai in the Strong's Concordance, we get a mountain of Arabia. Okay, now, if you're paying attention, you know, if you can pay attention to this, It's going to tell a story. But it just says Sinai, a mountain of Arabia. Okay. Now, since, you know, I use the Hebrew ancient characters whenever I get stuck, because, and I ask the Most High, I say, can you give me, you know, deeper insight so I can see something else that you're trying to show us here, okay? And it's not a mystery that these people actually put up these books. And actually, I want to say something. There's two books that you should get. One of them is called The Ancient Hebrew Language and Alphabet, and it's by Jeff A. Beener, and that's Benner, B-E-N-N-E-R. And there's another one called Ancient Hebrew Dictionary, 1,000 Verbs and Nouns of the Hebrew Bible. This is by Jeff A. Benner also, B-E-N-N-E-R. Now, I suggest these books because it has good information in it, but I criticize the books because they claim that they are giving us the original Hebrew characters and translating it for us. But the problem is what they do is they take the ancient Hebrew characters and then they use the Babylonian Hebrew and then the Strong's Concordance. I mean, they're not translating anything. So, whenever these European men, the white man, okay, whenever the white man, the European, translates the African, he is using his mind to do it. Because the European white man does not understand the African mind. It takes an African to translate African. And this is why we're so confused, because our books are just bland and in English. All right, well, let me get back to this. I won't get too far off track. Now, Sinai. When I take this word Sinai and I go into the ancient Hebrew, all right? In the ancient Hebrew, what I do is as I'm speaking, I'm going to my website. And what you do is you go to the research page. If you follow along, you go to the research page. Okay? And on the research page, I have a image. And on this image, it says ancient Hebrew, modern Hebrew. Okay? Now, when I take Sinai, what I do is I break down the characters that are given to me in the Babylonian Hebrew. And then what I do is I take these words and then I find the proper character that they give me, right? And then I translate it. Like, for instance, the first word for Sinai, the S, it has something, it's like a, they call it a, what is it? It's called a thorn, right? And it's sin, like Sinai. And you have three words. They're grab, hate, protection. All right? The second word in Sinai, it's the yod, right? And that's the Hebrew yod. And that one is the arm, right? Arm and closed hand. And they have words like work, throw, and worship. And then you have the other word, right? Now, this one's special. This is the nun. And in the nun, you have the seed, which is the sperma. Seed, sperm, right? It's continue, hair, son. All right? And then we go back, and then we have the yod again. All right? And now we have work, so worship. So what I do is I take the ancient Hebrew, and then I say, okay, how does this fit the content? Right? This is what's going on here. How does this particular word fit the content that's happening, and how can I make this speak based on the words that I'm given? All right? Now, here's something interesting. There's a book by Herodotus. I advise everybody. If you get one book, you get this book. It's called The Landmark Herodotus. H-E-R-O-D-O-T-U-S, The Histories. okay? Buy this book, because this is an account of a Greek historian, and it's an account of the things that were happening back in ancient Greece. And he gives detail without the mind of the racist. So he's just speaking. He's just writing down things that are happening. And I'm telling you this story to make a point here. At this time, Darius, who was a black man, okay, now I keep saying, but I don't want to turn this to a black and white thing, but in order to understand where I'm coming from, you have to understand history was manipulated. And why history was manipulated was for the fact that the people were of African descent. And actually, it's actually Libyan descent, because that's another story, but of African descent. Now, when I say African descent, what I mean is that when the Europeans stole us and created the slave trade, in order to make us less than human, they had to hide the fact that we were human. Now, this permeated within the educational system, because they created the educational system. Okay, they had to keep us ignorant of who we are so we would not rise up and understand that we need to take back our dignity and our culture. And our dignity and culture was Egyptian. It was Hebrew. It was Persian. It was Syrian. It was Arabian. You understand? We are the people of this area. But because the slave trade lasted 400 years, they wiped us out and spread us all over the world, the four corners of the world. Read the word. It says, I will place you over the four corners of the earth. White people, listen to me. You better wake up and understand that you have been lied to as well. And it's your spirit. It's your spirit that is in danger. Because your spirit is supposed to listen to our spirit, and we are supposed to save you. You can take it or leave it. Now, I'm a little upset right now. And the reason is because they messed with my broadcast. All right? And I'm going to tell you, you fight with me, I fight back. You push me, I push harder. You're going to have to kill me to shut me up. Now, to get back to what I'm saying, the covenant can be found in Sinai. Now, I was talking about Sinai, and the covenant can be found in it. I know I jumped ahead a little bit because I was breaking down the characters. And like I said, the certain characters in Hebrew, when you translate them down back to the ancient Hebrew, these particular characters, you know, we get words like protection, worship, continue, seed, and work. Now, I want you to think of these words. Protection, work, continue, seed, work. Now, when I wrote these down, the first thing that popped to my mind was covenant. It just was like, boom. I was like, oh. And you know why it popped to my mind? Because I was putting it into content. Okay? I was putting it to content. I was thinking, like, this is how the Most High is speaking to the children. You know what they say? Oh, don't speak to us anymore. They were so afraid. So the Most High was like, okay, I have to speak to them in another way. All right? So when you break these words, protection, worship, continue, seed, and work, you come up with covenant. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read what covenant means. And here's some from this dictionary online. All right? And it says, an agreement, usually formal, between two or more persons to do or not do something specified. Law, an incidental clause in such an agreement. Bible. Then it says Bible, God's promise to the Israelites and their commitment to worship Him. Okay, now, remember, protection, worship, continue, seed, work. Remember, what was the commandment? It was the law, right? Law, an incidental clause in such an agreement. You have to work, okay, to make sure you follow that law. It takes work, okay? An agreement, usually formal between two or more persons, to do a specific thing. That's another form of work, but it's also protection, okay? Because if we agree to do something, I am protected under that agreement because it's an agreement, okay? Protection, work. And then it says God's promise to Israelites and their commitment to worship him. There's worship again, all right? Now, these words are coming out of Sinai now. Now, remember, this is coming from Sinai. Protect, worship, continue, seed, work. All right? Now, it says, this is from reference.com, and it says, in the Hebrew Scriptures, an agreement or treaty among people or nations, but most memorable, the promise that God extended to humankind. Then it says, the promise to Noah, never again to destroy the earth by flood, or the promise to Abraham that his descendants, now how do you have descendants? Seed, hair, continue. This is the word nun. Okay? This is the word nun. This is the sperm seed that is inside of the word Sinai. Can y'all see how this is coming together now? It's like a hidden message inside a word that they didn't understand. Now it says, he goes, Abraham, that is his descendant, would multiply and inherit the land of Israel. God's revelations of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai created a pact between God and Israel known as the Sinai Covenant. Now think about this. Now, I got this from reference.com, and they put Sinai Covenant together. And I came up with covenant from Sinai. And it not only did I come up with it, it is spelled out as plain as day when you break down the words. And it says, in Christianity, Jesus' death established a new covenant between God and humanity. Islam holds that the last covenant was between God and the prophet Muhammad. Now, this reference.com is so convenient. Because even when it speaks about the prophet Muhammad, it is in content in what this broadcast is about. It's in context. Okay? Okay, now, I just want everybody to praise the Most High right now, silently or loudly. Because he is speaking to us in these last days. Okay? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I actually used to like Farrakhan. I can't tell you how many downloads I got of this brother. Because when you listen to him, he is really speaking to us. He is uplifting us. He is telling us the wrongs that are going on. He is speaking straight to the establishment. You know, and it's like he's speaking for us. And I'm with him. But when it comes to the Most High, and he starts saying that Yahushua is not the Messiah, and he starts denying the Spirit, got to take a few steps back right there now. All right, now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read something. Okay, now, from Deuteronomy 18:14-17, we see that the first prophet spoken of was like unto the Most High, Yah. Okay? Now I'm going to read something. I was going to read something out of Deuteronomy 18, but I want to explain this. It was spoken of like unto the Most High, Yah, right? Now we also find the promise of the covenant on Mount Sinai. And we see the fulfillment of the promise in Matthew 17:1-7. Okay? Now, the promise of the covenant was that, you know, this is the Ten Commandments, all right? We're not going to go over that right now, but it's the Ten Commandments. You know, I am thy God, thy only God before me. Thou shalt not bear unto thee false witness. You know, respect thy mother and thy neighbors till thy days grow old in the land. You know, the Ten Commandments and the basic close connection between the Creator and his creation for a specific purpose. All right? That was the covenant, right? Now, what we're speaking of in Matthew 17:1-7 is it spoke, you know, the prophets are speaking of a coming Messiah. And as we read through scriptures, we learn about this individual that's coming, and we realize that, oh, the Most High is coming himself to save us. And he has chosen this line to do so. That's why this line is special. Okay? But the demonic beings, knowing that if this created, if the Creator were to come through, then it would fulfill their destruction. Now, one thing to keep and take note of is Mount Horeb also means desolation. That's why you have these dual names going here. It means mountain of destruction and mountain of the covenant. In the midst of their power, the children of Yaakov made a covenant with the Most High. After that covenant, they were blessed with the ability to destroy them. These people were the Amalekites. They were wiped out by Yahshua. Isn't it interesting how Yahshua and Yahushua are the same name? Now, let me get back to this. In Matthew 1-7, what we do is we read about the fulfillment of the coming of the Messiah, right? Now, what we're going to read next is the other prophet. The prophet that says, now, you know, like unto thee. Remember, one says unto me, this one it says unto thee. Now, we have to understand, this is vital. We have to make a distinction between these two sayings. Okay? And this is the one that Farrakhan is speaking about. He ignored Deuteronomy 18:15. He centered on Deuteronomy 18:18. Now I'm going to read it and I'm going to explain it later. And it says, I will raise thee up a prophet from amongst their brethren. Okay? He's talking to Moses. Like unto thee. Okay? Now he's saying, I will raise them up a prophet from amongst their brethren, meaning from amongst the seed, the children of Yaakov, like you, Moses, right? And will put my words in his mouth, and shall speak unto them all that I commanded him. And 19, and it shall come to pass that whatsoever will not hearken that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. And 20, but the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. 21, and if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which Iah hath not spoken? 22, when a prophet speaketh in the name of Yahuwah, and the thing follow not, nor come to pass, this is the thing which Yahuwah hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. Okay? Now I want to give credit where credit's due. There is a man that I respect, and I like him. His name is Yahya Bandley. He did a broadcast that was speaking about Obama being the next president. Now, the interesting, you should listen to this broadcast, but the thing is that when he said this, it was before no one even knew who Barack Obama was. And when he made this prophecy, that Obama would be the president, and he did become president. And then he starts speaking about Gentile rule. So the Spirit is with Yahya Bandele. Okay? He's with Yahya Bandele. And I advise you to listen to Kofa Network. Now, nobody's perfect because we're all trying. But I got a lot of respect for that organization. And now to continue. Now, the reason why I bring that up is because when it talks about prophets, now that's an example. Now, since he prophesied that Obama would be the president and the things actually came to pass, now we can look to him and say, oh, this guy is, he has the spirit of the Most High. He has the spirit of the Most High because within his spirit, there's two things to look for. One, the first thing is the fact that he's a Hebrew. He came from Yaakov. That's the other thing. And the second thing is like, well, just because they're Hebrew don't mean you should listen to them because, you know, they might not be of the Spirit. But since he actually made a prophecy that came to pass, those are two things. Now we can say, oh, he's cool. All right. Now I'm going to read something later on in Jeremiah to clarify that. But anyway, all right, I'm not trying to get off track. But back in Deuteronomy 18:18, all right? Now, this section is doing two things. One, it is telling us how to identify a prophet, okay? It's telling us how to identify a prophet. And two, it is prophesying of the Messiah. You see, the prophets are looking for the prophet like Moses and the Most High. He would have both of these qualities. As it says, like unto me and like unto thee. Those are two qualities, right? Now, this is telling us that there will be many prophets, but how do you identify a false prophet? You understand? What does it say? It says, he will be a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren. Meaning he will be Hebrew of the seed of Yaakov. He will be a keeper of the covenant. He will speak in the name of the Most High Yah. All right? Now, if he follows all these qualifications, right? If he follows all these qualifications, then he's good. Now, what does it say in Deuteronomy 18:22? When a prophet speaketh in the name of Yahuwah, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which Yahuwah hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. That means that do not reverence him, because he's just speaking. My spirit ain't with him. Because who are you supposed to reverence? Who are you supposed to fear? The Most High. So he says, do not be afraid of him because he spoke a prophecy that I didn't put in his mouth. All right? Now, it says, basically, these people have to have the similar features in order to be a prophet or to match what Deuteronomy says. Now, later I'm going to read, what I'm going to do is, like, you know, as I mentioned, this book of Herodotus, it talks about how the people looked in the area. And we have to put this in context. Now, this was written 2,500 or 3,000 years ago, right? And at this time, Africa, the Middle East, looked totally different. At this time, the Canaanites, the Hebrews, you know what I'm saying, the Egyptians, all of them had similar features. All of them had similar features. Okay? And because they all had similar features, in order to tell each other apart, there were certain things that were done. And one of the things that were done was the circumcision. Okay? Like if you're a Hebrew woman and you got a man that's saying he's Hebrew, and she'll know he's not Hebrew immediately when he pulls his pants down. Okay, now I'm not saying this is the only reason for the circumcision, but this was a reason. And if you start to really put this into content, now you understand why. Because there were so many black people in this area, and they all had woolly hair, and they all were dark, you know? So, anyway, let's continue. All right, now, what I'm going to do is we're going to look in the book of Acts, and the book of Acts is going to also edify Deuteronomy 18:18. In Acts 3:20, it says, "And he shall send Yahushua the Messiah, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive unto the times of restitution of all things, which Yahuwah hath spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began." Okay? All of his holy prophets since the world began. Moses, he goes, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall Yahushua, your Yah, raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. He shall ye hear in all things whosoever he shall say unto you." Now here we go. Acts edifying Deuteronomy. "Verily I say," oh, I'm sorry. What I want to do is put this in your mind. It's very important to understand this verse. Now it says, "A prophet shall Yahuwah, your Yah, raise up unto you of your brethren." Okay, now like I said, it says, "unto you of your brethren." This means of the seed of Yaakov, the seed of the promise. Now pay attention. Remember, the covenant was made between Moses and the Most High. So those that are under the covenant are the ones that must fulfill it. Moses was a son of Levi. Levi was a son of Yaakov. Yaakov was a chosen by the Most High. This is vital to understand. And then it reads, Acts 3:2-3. "And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from amongst the people. Ye and all the prophet from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of those of these days." Okay, so here it's saying that this man is the one that all the prophets spoke of. Okay, basically, this is the man that all the prophets spoke of. Because remember, this is the book of Acts. He's actually explaining this. And then Acts 25 says, "Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which Yah made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in the seed shall all the kindred of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, Yah, having raised up his son, Yahushua, set him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities." Now, I want to bring to light something. This is Paul speaking. People want to dog Paul out. Now, do you hear what Paul said? He says, I'm going to read this. Now it says, "Ye and all the prophets of Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold all these things." He says, "Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which Yah made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in the seed shall all the kindred of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, Yah, having raised up his son, Yahushua, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities." So Paul is basically saying, look, are the covenant. Where was Paul? He was of the tribe of Benjamin. Okay? Now, I did this broadcast called The Seed of Benjamin. And in this broadcast, you can see that Benjamin's seed was hijacked by the Amalekites, but not all of them were overtaken. And we need to look at Benjamin as an example for the rest of the seed of Yaakov, because the seed has been mixed in a way. No, it's been mixed. But there is a remnant that still remained Hebrew. And that remnant that still remained Hebrew, the covenant still lives with them. Obviously it does, because Paul is an example of that. And he's actually speaking to that remnant. Okay? Now, what does it say? Now, basically, this is all the prophets spoke about this one to come. And it says that will be like unto me. Be like unto Ayah in the spirit and unto Moses in the flesh. Okay? Now, we only know one person in history that has both those qualities. All right, now, we're going to listen to Yahushua, and this is straight from Yahushua's voice. All right? And it says, John 12:44, Yahushua cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judged him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Not the last days, the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I would say, and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whosoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Okay? Now, this is this last three verses are in reference to Deuteronomy 19. Okay? Because he's speaking about that the words are placed in his mouth. They're placed in his mouth by Ayah. Okay? And his job, Yahushua's job, was not to judge at this time. His job was to bring us out of darkness, to let us know that there was a creator. Okay? The prophecy was fulfilled to me. My job is to say, my commandment was to tell you and let you know this is real. Here I am. Okay? Now, people are trying to confuse this because within their spirits are the spirits of the fallen ones. Okay? They need to check themselves. Now, Deuteronomy 18:19, it says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it on him. So, as you can see, Yahushua is telling us that he is the man like Moses. All right? Now, let's not overlook that. Okay? He is the man like Moses. But we're going to actually get another witness. Okay? Now, this is from the book of Zechariah. What does Zechariah say? Zechariah 6:11. Then take He goes, then take silver and gold and make crowns and set them upon the head of Yahushua. That's another one. Joshua. The son of Hosedek, the high priest. And speak unto him, saying, Thou speakest the Most High of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the Branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of Ayah. All right, now we know what happened. What is the temple of Ayah? Yahushua. It's not a building. Then it says the branch. What is the branch? From what tree? The fig tree. You hear me now. Zechariah 6:13. Even he shall build the temple of Yahuwah, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Now, we know this is a reference to Yahushua. Who is saying this? A prophet. Okay? Now, Zechariah is a prophet. Zechariah was edified because the words of the Most High was in Zechariah's mouth. Zechariah was of the seed of Yaakov. He was a Hebrew. A Hebrew that was blessed by the Most High was prophesied that one day there will be an individual, Yahushua, who will have both qualities. He will have the words, the spirit of the Most High will be in him, and he will be a man like Moses, and he will fulfill the commandments that were given to him. Now, why are you trying to destroy this message, Farrakhan? How can you take us away from the oppressor and put us back into oppression? True freedom is freedom from these demonic forces in this world. True freedom is the freedom of our spirits. But by you lying, you are putting us back in the bondage. In the bondage of these principalities. You're going to have to repent for that, my brother. Now, the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 28:5. Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priest, and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Most High. Jeremiah 28:6. Even the prophet Jeremiah said, Yahuwah, do so. Yahuwah, perform the words which thou hast prophesied to bring again the vessel of the Most High's house, and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place. Jeremiah 28:7. Nevertheless, hear thou now this words that I speak in thine ears and in the ears of all the people. Jeremiah 28:8. The prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms, of war and of evil and of pestilence. Right? Now, I'm not going to read over that, because now I want you to understand, this is Jeremiah the prophet. He's actually speaking of all the prophets that were coming before, and they were actually speaking of the warnings about all the things that were happening. Okay? And what happened? They went to captivity. They had war. They had famine. They had pestilence. They had all the evils that were coming upon them, and they were telling this is going to happen. And the people that didn't listen to it suffered. But the people that did, the Most High put in his hand and carried. And kept, like myself, you know. Look, the Most High made a way for me to get out of the United States. I'm not saying everybody should leave. I didn't know I was supposed to leave. I didn't leave because the Most High told me. It was a convenient way for me to go. But now that I'm looking, I'm like, man, what would happen if I was still there? Now, I'm not saying that things ain't going to happen here in Europe. But I think the United States is a little bit closer to destruction. Just a little bit closer. Anyway, now, Jeremiah 28:9, okay, it says, the prophet which prophesies of peace, When the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that I, Yah, have truly sent him. Now, if you're noticing, all of these prophets are edifying the book of Moses and Deuteronomy, right? They're all edifying, from Jeremiah to Zechariah through the book of Matthew. I mean, it's just going back. And because it is a very important area to focus on. I mean, this is extremely important because it's talking about the coming of the Messiah. And all of them are giving reverence to this prophecy. Let's read Jeremiah 29 again. It says, the prophet which prophesies of peace, when the word of the Most High shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that I, Yah, have truly sent him. Jeremiah 28:10. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and break it. Like I said, this verse accomplished three things. All right, we're going to break it down. One, it references all the prophets that said these things would come to pass, basically like the captivity and so forth. Two, it proves Jeremiah was a true prophet because his yoke was released from around his neck. And three, he speaks about the prophet to come, which is the prophet of peace. And he does this by referring to Deuteronomy 18. Okay, now this leads me into the next section of this broadcast. You know what? Before I go into the next section of the broadcast, I want to do one thing. And what I want to do is I'm going to read something that Farrakhan said. I'm going to remind you of something that Farrakhan said about the Comforter. And we're going to read the Comforter for ourselves, and we're going to see if what he said is true. Okay? Now, let me find this. It is in the book of John. Okay? And we're going to look for it. Hold on one second, y'all. Let me find it. Okay. Here we go. And it says, John 14:15. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. But yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. All right? And that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Judas said unto him, Most High, Yah, how is it thou, he said, Yahushua, how is it that thou will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Now, this is a question, okay? And Yahushua answers and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Now listen to this. It's very careful. Listen to this very carefully. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, one more time, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whosoever I have said unto you. Now, whenever I read the word and something comes to mind, I never say I am clever, I am wise. I humbly fall to my knees, tears come out my eyes, and I thank the Most High for being with me and revealing the things to me. Everything, if you find the things that I'm doing on this broadcast fascinating, I want you to understand something. It ain't me. Okay? I'm serious. Sometimes I read something and I'm like, man, this is, how did I know this? Now, if it's true in John 14:26, but says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. We are the Hebrews of the seed of Yaakov. Now we are remembering it. Whosoever I have said unto you. Right? Now it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, ye would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince, listen now, the prince of this world cometh, and have nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father give me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Right? Now, y'all, please listen to this broadcast again and read these chapters as you're listening to them, and bring that to your mind. Okay? Now, Yahushua, Ayah, a one, that spirit that manifests itself out of that union was given to the world and given to the seed of Yaakov. And that spirit dwells in those that love Yahushua. If they don't love Yahushua, then the spirit that dwells in them is not of Yahushua. Please understand that. It's very important. Okay, now, I'm going to play another audio file. And this is a Farrakhan in 1965. Now, this is a good one because this actually, I think, is the first time he coined that phrase, a man like Moses. Now, this is going to tell you who the man like Moses is in his mind. Okay, now, after I read all that, you're going to listen to this again, okay, and then I'll be right back. All right, listen to this.
American Negro. Don't be like the Muhammad historians bear witness with him.
Now, Farrakhan's going to say this, do I have the right to call him on it? I take this serious. I'm willing to die for what I believe. So if Farrakhan is telling me Elijah Muhammad is the man like Moses, then I have to defend that. Because that's not what the word tells me. And all these poverty preachers don't even call him on attacking the foundation of their belief. So, you heard it. Straight from Farrakhan's lips, Elijah Muhammad is a man like Moses. That's blasphemy. Now, to his credit, Farrakhan has spoken about the Hebrews for decades, and nobody listened to him. Now, am I saying that Farrakhan is an angel for doing this? No. I'm not saying if he's an angel or a devil. I don't know. He might just be misinformed. But when he says that Elijah Muhammad, you know, was the Messiah, I have to take a few steps back. Because now he's playing in false prophet territory. Now, you know, we can really get into this because I did my research on this whole movement. Okay? Now, I researched Farrakhan Muhammad also. And I didn't just stop with Wikipedia. You know, they got FBI files out there. And the FBI files, they didn't expect people to look at them. They have something called the Freedom of Information Act. After 25 years, they have to release the stuff to you. They have to. And when you read through all these files of years of stuff, you start to say, wait, hold on, who is this person? And then you connect this to the Moors, and then it's connected to... what's his name? Drew Ali. And, you know, I actually have a lot of information on this. I'm not even going to get to that right now. But if you seriously do research on this, you will start to see a new light in all of this going on here. And let's not start any controversy. Let's move on. What I'm saying is this. Elijah Muhammad does not qualify to be the Messiah. First of all, he's already dead. Okay? And the generation that's passing, his generation, has passed because he died. So he was old and died. Okay? Now, Farrakhan is old and, you know, getting up there. Now, we are listening to him now speak about the Messiah, but because we don't understand scriptures, we don't know what phase we're in. We are not in the time of peace. We are in the days of judgment, the time of judgment. Okay? The last days are leading to the last day. Okay? Now, if you are from the Nation of Islam, I do not mean any disrespect, but I have to call it like I see it. But remember this, if I'm wrong, and Farrakhan is right, then you have nothing at all to worry about. But if I'm right, and Farrakhan is wrong, then it's your soul you have to worry about. All right? Now, one of the reasons why I did this broadcast, okay, is because we always get someone denying Yahushua and claiming to be the representative of the Most High. Why are they always attacking Yahushua's credibility? Maybe the roots go deeper than we think. Now, as you recall, Abraham was the father of many nations. But it was only one of these nations that the word comes from. Okay? Because the word became flesh. Now, it was a specific seed that the word, came through. And we have to understand this, okay? Because what we need to do is now, we need to understand that since the word became flesh, this word had to become through a specific seed. And the world is saved by that seed because that seed is carrying the word. Now, a covenant was made between that specific seed and the Most High for this very purpose. Now, there are three branches claiming to be the covenant. Okay? They're claiming to be the covenant, the promise of the Most High. They're saying, no, we are the covenant. We are the promise of the Most High. But as the good book says, it says, you will know them by their fruits. Right? Now, if their fruits are rotten and decay and evil, then the branches of that tree, the branches of that tree are not of the tree of the Most High. Alright? So let's look at these three branches. Now, we have one branch that was a son of Abraham. His name was Ishmael, brother of Isaac, and out of his branch came Muhammad. So, was a covenant made with this branch? Okay. We have another branch, a son of Abraham, and a son of Isaac, named Esau. And out of his branch, we get Herod, King Herod. So was the covenant made with this branch? Was the covenant made with these two branches? Did it come from Muhammad or come to Esau? Okay, we have another branch, a son of Abraham, and a son of Isaac, named Jacob. And out of this branch came Yahushua, the Messiah. So, was a covenant made with this branch? Now, when you lay it out like this, it really should be that simple. But yet, we get people like Farrakhan telling us to look for a man like Moses among people that are not of the branch of Yaakov. Because, remember, for our Muhammad didn't come from the Hebrews. Everybody knows that just by looking at the man. He comes from the nation, he comes from a stolen version of the Arab nation. Because And if he, think about this, if he comes from the Arab nation, then that means that they have enslaved us. If they enslaved us, then why would the let me just keep going, because it doesn't make any sense. All right. Now since we can see the simplicity in this, and it's so simple to follow, then maybe I should explain in more detail on who the actual covenant dwells with. Okay? Because now we have to try to help those that are ignorant of this and keep making false accusations. They need to learn where the actual covenant comes from. Okay? Now, the covenant and the promise was made with one of these three branches, right? It was either made with Ishmael, Esau, or Yaakov. But instead of reading this in the Word, many would rather make up stories. What people need to realize is that the fallen ones need you to be ignorant. You see, they cannot survive if you know the truth. There would be no word religion if you only knew the truth. Okay? Now, let's take a look at history. Okay? We're going to look back around the 2nd century BC. Okay? Now, we're going to look at Esau now. Okay? We're going to look at the branch of Esau. We go around 2nd century BC. Okay? We have Esau, who is now known as the Edomites. He's merging with Yaakov. Now, remember, like the seed of Benjamin? It talks about, I was speaking about how the Amalekites started to merge with the seed of Benjamin. Okay, go back and listen to that broadcast. It's going to actually reveal a lot. Okay, the Edomites merged with Yaakov. Okay, or better yet, they basically usurped Yaakov. Now, what is interesting about this is, this is how it aligns with something called the Great Cycle. Okay, the Great Cycle is, which is the calendar of the occult. Like I mentioned before, the followers follow a 25,920-year cycle. Now, when I make my video, I'm going to explain all this. See, every 2,160 years comes a new ruler of principalities. This is based on their zodiac system. So what happens at this time, basically, there's a change. There's a change of the guard. Now, what people should do is, if you notice around the 2nd century, let's say 148 BC, pay attention to this date, 148 BC, at this time, the Greeks were coming to power. Actually, no, the Greeks were in power, but we have a, they're taking over the temple, okay? This, the, basically, the Babylonian gods are being upgraded. And the Hebrews of the seed of Yaakov are uprooted and placed into captivity. Okay? It's been happening since the time of Babylon, but now here's another changing happening. Now, the reason why I'm telling you this is because 1048 BC actually aligns with this calendar that I'm talking about. Okay? Now, this is when the line of Esau, Edomites, the red ones, they start to become kings and queens, princes and empires of the world. After the 2nd century BC, Esau, through the Edomite, is made king of the Jews. Changing of the guard, right? He blends the religion of Mithra and creates a conflation of Egyptian, Babylonian, Judaism, and Christianity. It's a new type of religion. Now, I hope by now I'm not beginning to sound like a broken record. No, actually, I want to sound like a broken record. I want people to listen to me say this enough that they're like, oh, here this is again. I need for you to just hear this. Now, if you're new to this, I want you to just keep listening. Okay? And the reason why, because very soon, we're going to move to a new level of understanding. Meaning we're going to have to get past this stage of wondering who we are. And we need to go to the stage of knowing who we are. And once we get to this level, okay, we begin to see all sides. Then we will become the people we are destined to be. Okay? Once we become the people we are destined to be, then we can start really concentrating our minds on what it is we're supposed to do. Okay? Because right now we're just wondering, are we the Hebrews? Oh, they changed the black people. Oh, and we just keep going into that, but we need to get out of that. We need to look at the bigger picture. What are these principalities? What are these fallen angels? What is this? And what can we do about it? They live because we sleep. Okay, now, we're going to take a look at Ishmael now. Okay, we just looked at Yaakov and how he was usurped by Esau. Okay, that was the line of Esau. And this is how Esau starts to make these accusations that, you know, Yahushua was not the Messiah. Because now that he has taken over the seed of Yaakov in part, he can now manipulate it all with all these Babylonian things, you know, within it. And this is how people like David Icke or Zacharias Sitchin and all these demonic, evil occultists can now try to, discredit the word by saying, oh, look, see, it's from here. It's from Babylon. Oh, see, this is where they get the Messiah from in the 3 days. It's Babylon. See, but now if you don't know history, then you'll fall for that trick. But it's not so. Now, we're going to look at Ishmael and see if the Messiah came through this line. Okay? First, we see that he was a son of Abraham. Now, we know that the Messiah did not come from the line of Ishmael because Ishmael is the brother of Isaac. Isaac is the father of Esau and Yaakov. Plus, Ishmael is half Egyptian. If you read the book of Yasser, it clearly states that his mother was the daughter of Pharaoh. Yes, Hagar was a daughter of Pharaoh. Her mother was a concubine. See, not many people know this. Ishmael's mother was a daughter of Pharaoh. Now, we can only find this out if we read the book of Yasser. This is why it's important to know these books. Now, I'm going to read it. It says, Now, therefore, here is thy wife. Take her and go from our land, lest we all die on her account. Okay, now, this is from the book of Yasser, chapter 15, verses 30 to 34. Sorry about that. And Pharaoh took more cattle, men servants and maidservants, and silver and gold to give to Abram. And he returned unto him Sarai, his wife. And the king took a maid whom he begot by his concubines, and he gave her to Sarai for a handmaiden. And the king said to his daughter, It is better for thee, my daughter, to be a handmaiden in this man's house than to be mistress in my house. After we have beheld the evil that befell us on account of this woman. And Abram rose, and he and all belongings to him went away from Egypt, and Pharaoh ordered some of his men to accompany him, and all that went with him. Now, when we read about Abraham fighting for Lot, and all these wars that Abraham has in that area, we wonder, where did all these men come from? Well, they came from Pharaoh. They were Egyptians. Very important. Okay? So now, we know that Hagar is a princess. Now think about this. She is the daughter of the king of Egypt, a princess that became a handmaiden of Sarah, and the wife of Abraham. Now, this also means Ishmael was of the seed of Ham through his son Mithram, the father of Egypt. So he was a Hebrew and an Egyptian. And this was way before the Hyksos invasion, okay? Because I want people to think, oh, if he was an Egyptian, that means he must have been half Hyksos. No. This is way before that. Because the Scythians of the north did not come down yet. Those are the Europeans. They didn't come down here yet, okay? Now, I mention this because this should tell us, I mention this because I went to the deceiver to know that I want the deceiver to know that we know that Ishmael was an African. Okay, to be more clear, he was a black African. Now, I keep bringing the color issue back in here because you have to use color as like if you have a counterfeit dollar, in order to know if that dollar was counterfeit or not, there are certain things that would identify that dollar. And we basically, because they change the people around, people don't know what to look for in history. Okay? Now, what I'm going to read to you is the book of Herodias. It's actually Herodotus. And this is the book that I told you about before. The Landmark, Herodotus, The Histories. Very important book. Now, listen to what I read. Okay, let me take a drink of water. Okay. And it says, this is on page 161. And this is book two. And it says, and it is indeed obvious that the Colossians are really Egyptians. I say this because I noticed this resemblance myself, and then I heard about it from others too. As I considered the matter, I questioned both people, and it turned out that they did remember each other, although the Colossians, C-O-L-C-H-I-A-N-S, just in case I'm pronouncing that wrong, which I probably am, the Colossians remembered the Egyptians more than the Egyptians the Colossians. The Egyptians stated that they believed the Colossians were from the army of Sesostris. Now, Sesostris is S-E-S-O-S-T-R-I-S. Now, this, if you look up this Sesostris, it's a king of Egypt. Almost, this was about between 1 to 2,000 years prior to this author, and this author was 4,000 B.C. Now, it's important to know that because listen to what it says. All right, mind you, this is 2,000 years. Almost 2,000 years prior to this author, he says, I myself had also guessed that first because they are black-skinned and woolly hair. And then he has in comments, although this is itself proves nothing, since others are like this too. Now, what does he mean by that? He's meaning that, I knew that they were, he's talking about the Colossians. He knew that there was a connection between them and the Egyptians because they also had black skin and woolly hair. So right there he's telling you that the Egyptians at this time, 400 B.C., had black skin and woolly hair. But he says, although this is itself proves nothing, since others are like this too. So basically everybody in the area are black skinned and woolly hair. Okay? But even more because of all people, only the Colossians and the Egyptians and the Ethiopians, see how he's putting them all in one category, have practiced circumcision from the very earliest times. The Phoenicians and the Syrians of Palestine agree that they have learned this practice from the Egyptians. So now we have the Syrians, black, Phoenicians, black, okay? More people, Palestinians, black. And the Syrians who lived around the river Thormodon and the river Pathrinus and their neighbors, the Markrans, claim they learned it only recently from the Colethians. Okay? So now we have black people teaching other black people about circumcision. These are the only people that practice circumcision, and it is clear that they do it the same way as the Egyptians. But of the Egyptians and Ethiopians, I cannot say which of the two learned it from the other, since it is evidently a very ancient practice. However, there is, I think, convincing proof that the people who have had close contact with Egypt learned circumcision from the Egyptians. Those Phoenicians who have had close contact with the Hellenes, these are the the Greeks, no longer imitate Egyptians in regarding this regarding their genitalia. Now, this right here should tell you something, because it says, this is, I think, convincing proof that the people who have had close contact with Egypt learned circumcision from the Egyptians, right? Then it says, those Phoenicians who had close contact with the Hellenes no longer imitate Egyptians as regarding their genitalia, but instead leave the genitalia of the next generation of sons uncircumcised. So now they're getting influence from the Hellenistic period around 400 BC before they took over the land. Okay? Then it says, but now let me cite further evidence that the people of Cilician and the Egyptians resemble each other. Of all people, only those two produce linen by the same distinct method. Moreover, their whole way of life and their language are quite similar. Linen from Cilicus is called Sardian by the Hellenes, the Hellenists. While they refer to the linen that comes from Egypt as Egyptian. Okay? Now, I read this because I want to show you that it is documented in history about the people that lived there. Okay? The only way he could tell them apart was how they would use customs. He's talking about, well, their linen. He didn't say, oh, that one has straight hair, and that one has curly hair. That one has big lips. That has no lips. That is white one. No, he said their linen and their circumcision. These are details. You have to get details to understand these people. Okay? Now, I say this because I wonder, would it not be a tragedy if these great European nations smashed the noses off of the ancient art all over Egypt that we can see in the museums of France and in the museums in Europe of these, even in Denmark. When I'm looking, I see the noses smashed up trying to figure out what type of people they are. And when you try to see the people by looking at the distinguishing features, the one thing that can distinguish who they are is smashed to hell. All of them. Now, wouldn't that be a tragedy if it was done intentionally? I mean, do they really want to deliberately vandalize these ancient art to hide the fact that the Egyptians and the Hebrews are black? Wouldn't that be a tragedy? Okay. Now, this man is called the father of history. One interesting thing to understand is he also says that he doesn't call Africa Africa. He calls it Libya. This is back then. He says Libya. Now, Libya is a very important prize for the deceiver. So we should pay attention to what's going on in the Middle East right now. Okay, as I was saying, almost lost track here. I'm talking about Hagar, and I'm talking about Ishmael. Hagar is the mother of Ishmael. So he was half Egyptian, and since the prophet of Muhammad came from this line, then his line was not of the covenant. It was not of the seed of Yaakov. Plus, if you think about it, Ishmael was long gone by the time the covenant was made. What was Ishmael doing? He was building a nation. He was building a nation in Lower Asia Minor, in Saudi Arabia. He was fulfilling the will of the Father. He became a mighty nation. Okay? But he was not a man like Moses. Okay? I mean, that should be clear. But that's one of those things that they try to deceive us with. Because we don't have the knowledge to understand what the word says. So now, the only branch left is that of Yaakov. And if you notice, it is the main target of the other two branches. Now what happened? The Muslims sold us into captivity, and the Europeans, the amalgamated tribe of Esau, they brought us. Okay, one sold, the other bought. Esau, who was the Edomites, decided to join his family with those known as the Amalekites. Okay, he became confederate against the seed of Yaakov. Now, what people need to study is how Esau became Yaakov. I say this a lot. I know. I want it to be rooted into your understanding. This is the core of the deception and the key to freedom. Now think about this. Esau enslaves and kills the children of Yaakov with the help of the Amalekites. Esau takes over the temple, which was built to house the Ark of the Covenant. He kills all the priests that were ordained to teach the covenant. He places the Gentiles, like the Greeks and the Biophians, from the north in the high priest position. Then he becomes Yaakov by becoming a new people and creating a religion called Judaism. And what new people does he become? They're called the Jews. Then what happens? He marries into the line of Caesar, Cleopatra, and the Hasmoneans. Okay? Now understand that, I think I mentioned that Judas the Maccabeus was of the line of Yaakov, and I mean of the line of Judah. I misspoke. It was actually, Judas Maccabeus is of the line of Aaron. So they would have actually been the rightful priests. So when Herod married the Hasmonean, I think it was Miriam, he actually became a priest. And this is why they say that they are rabbis now, the Kohan. This is how you can trace back to the line of the Kohan. But if people don't know the event that happened, okay, they say, yes, we are Jews. We are Hebrews. But it's through Esau and through Hasmoneans, but through deception. And through murder. It's not through the way that it's supposed to be, through the covenant. This is what people need to understand. Okay? Now, what happens? He rebuilds and takes over the Sanhedrin. He makes the fig tree bare, clean and white. Okay? Basically, King Herod, the son of Esau, the king of the Edomites, becomes the king of the Jews, thinking that the blessing was a kingdom and not a promise. You see, Herod could not steal the blessing. Ishmael could not steal the blessing, because Ayah is the blessing. Ayah is not going to dwell in Herod. Why would he dwell in Herod? Okay? The word became flesh. See, people still do not get it. The treasure is not silver and gold, diamonds and pearls. It's knowing that you can spend eternity with the Father. And people still don't get it. It's not land. It's not Israel. See, this is why Abraham knew that the blessings would not come through Esau. Because the Most High explained this to him. Abraham tells Rebekah why she should, why he knows why she loves Yaakov. Now, think about this. Even though Yaakov was the youngest, the blessing went to him and not Esau. Now, we're going to read the book of Jubilees because I want to read something to you. I want to read something to you. Okay, and because a lot of people are deceived, we need other books to help to combat that deception. Now, let me see. What I'm going to do is, okay. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. A lot of people say that Yaakov stole Esau's birthright. First of all, the Most High can choose whoever he wants to. Okay? And plus, how can you steal something that was given to you by Yah? Right? Let me repeat that. How can you steal something that was given to you by Yah? It's impossible. Okay, now, here's the book of Jubilee, chapter 19. Abraham's blessing for Yaakov. And it reads, Yaakov was a smooth and upright man, and Esau was a fierce man of the field. He was hairy, and Yaakov dwelt in tents. The youth grew. Yaakov learned to write, but Esau did not. He did not learn, for he was a man of the field and a hunter, and he learned war, and all his deeds were fierce. And Abraham loved Yaakov, but Isaac loved Esau. And Abraham saw the deeds of Esau, and he knew that in Yaakov should his name and seed be called. And he called Rebekah and gave commandment regarding Yaakov. Okay, now what's happening? Abraham's looking at these two boys, and he's like, nah, this word cannot go through Esau. Esau is wild and crazy, and he just don't give a damn. But Yaakov, I see it with Yaakov, right? And he noticed that Rebekah loves Yaakov. So what does he do? He called Rebekah and gave commandment regarding Yaakov. Now listen to what he says. It says, for he knew that she too loved Yaakov much more than Esau. And he said unto her, my daughter, watch over my son, for he shall be in my stead on the earth, and for a blessing in the midst of the children of man, and for the glory of the whole seed of Shem, for I know that the Most High will choose him to be a people for possession unto himself, above all peoples that are upon the face of the earth. And behold, Isaac my son loves Esau more than Yaakov, but I see that thou truly lovest Yaakov, and still further to thy kindness to him, and let thine eyes be upon him in love, for he shall be a blessing unto all on the earth from henceforth unto all generations of the earth. All generations of the earth. Not just Yaakov, but all people. The purpose, the covenant, there's a point. Now it reads, let thy hands be strong, and let thy heart rejoice in thy son Yaakov. For I have loved him far beyond all my sons. He shall be blessed forever, and his seed shall fill the whole earth. If a man can number the sand of the earth, his seed also shall be numbered. And all the blessings wherewith the Most High hath blessed me, and my seed shall belong to Jacob, and his seed always, and his seed shall my name be blessed in the name of my fathers, Shem, Noah, Enoch, Methuselah, Enos, Seth, and Adam. Okay, he names all these names. And these shall serve to lay the foundation of the heavens, and to strengthen the earth, and to renew all the luminaries which are in the firmament. Okay, now, I'm going to finish up. And it says, and he called Yaakov before the eyes of Rebekah, his mother, and kissed him, and blessed him, and said, Yaakov, my beloved son, whom my soul loveth, may Yah bless thee from above the firmament, and may he give thee all the blessings wherewith he blessed Adam, and Enoch, and Noah, and Shem, and all the things of which he told me, and all the things which he promised to give me, may he cause to cleave to thee and to thy seed forever, according to the days of heaven above the earth. Now listen, it says, and the spirits of Mastema. Now the spirits of Mastema is actually the spirit of the demonic beings, the spirit of the fallen entities, the spirit of Ariel. This is the demonic principalities that are controlling the world right now. Okay? He says, and the spirits of Mastema shall not rule over thee or over the seed to turn thee from the Most High, who is thy Yah, from henceforth forever. And may the Most High Yah be a father to thee, and thou thy firstborn son, and to the people always. Go in peace, my son. And they both went forth together from Abraham, and Rebekah loved Yaakov with all her heart, and with all her soul, very much more than Esau. But Isaac loved Esau much more than Yaakov. Okay. Now, we need to expand our understanding of this word, brothers and sisters. We need to expand our understanding of this word. And the first step is to know that knowledge has been hidden from you. You see, the blessings were given to Yaakov because wisdom knew that if the blessings were given to Esau, then Edom would not fulfill the will of the Most High. Now, what did the Most High say about Esau? Okay? Now, we're going to read Romans 9:12. It says, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. And then it says, as it is written, Yaakov have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, why would the Most High say that? Right? Esau that I hated. Now, listen, it says, I'm going to read from the book of Malachi. And this is going to explain something. It says, Malachi, prophet, okay, another prophet. Malachi was the book that came right before Matthew. It's a very short book, and you miss it because it comes after Zechariah, Malachi, and then Matthew. And you can read it there. And it says, the burden of the word of the Most High to Yaakov by Malachi. It goes two. It says, I have loved you, saith the Most High. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Yaakov's brother, saith Ayah? Yet I love Yaakov, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Now, I remember Georgia from the Biblical Hebrews of the Bible. She actually I think, played an audio of Esau in the mountains and all wild. I have to listen to that again because I keep coming back to this. I'm going to do a study on Esau soon, but I have a lot of stuff I want to finish first. Okay, let me finish. And I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Then it says, whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Most High of hosts, they have built, but I will throw down, and they shall call them the borders of wickedness, and the people against whom the Most High hath indignation forever. Now, mind you now, this is Esau's offspring. Okay? And the Most High is talking, saying this about Esau. Now, did you hear that? He said, forever. And also, did you notice how the name changed? It changed from Esau to Edom. Now, this is telling you something. Okay? And like I said before, people are always trying to discredit Paul. And this is from the book of Romans where it says, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, if they can discredit Paul, then most of the books that are edifying the old, we were like, we don't have to pay any attention to that. You see? Now, this is how they get you. They try to take away the knowledge. And the knowledge that they left behind, they're like, uh-oh, they're actually waking up from this knowledge. So what we need to do is we need to destroy that as well. You see, they tried to destroy the word by putting it in control of all these church fathers, creating the Catholic churches, you know, and then creating the Protestant movement, you know, trying to rewrite it in 1611 into English and then changing the J. You know what I mean? They're trying to do all this stuff so we're confused. But what we need to understand is that this word, the truth, can only be hidden, cannot be destroyed. Okay, now, to finish this off, I'm going to ask a couple questions. Okay? We're going to ask a few questions. If Yahuwah hated Esau and did not want to make a covenant with him, are you still wondering why? Do you think we are living the reasons why the blessings went to Yaakov? What do I mean? Let's see. Let's say Ayah can look into the future. Let's just say the creator of all had the ability to know you and me before we were born. And let's just say he can see into the future. Now let's just say Ayah took a look at the spirit of Esau and he said, if I give this blessing to Esau, then there would be a king from out of his lineage called Herod. And he would pollute my temple and murder my priest. If I give this blessing to Esau, then he would turn my words into a false religion comprised of a fake god Mithra merged with Christianity, and they would call it Catholicism. If I gave this blessing to Esau, his offsprings will make themselves queens and emperors. They would create monarchs to control my earth. If I gave this blessing to Esau, then he would create a system of usury to control the economy of all nations and enslave every man on this earth. If I give this blessing to Esau, then he would control the farms and all fruit-bearing seed and create famine and hunger and death. You see, the Most High knew Esau before he was in his mother's womb. He knew that if he gave his blessing to Esau, then he would intermarry with the Amalekites and sacrifice children to the fire. He would create secret societies like the Freemasons and Illuminati, the Illuminated Ones. He would rule the world with dictators and do all the will of the spirits of Mitzmah, the spirits of the fallen, the demonic forces, the principalities, the children of the fallen ones. He knew he would not do the will of Hayah. You see, the Most High knew that Esau was not strong enough to resist the seed of the serpent. He knew Esau was not strong enough to resist the seed of the serpent. He knew if Esau controlled this world, he would bring it to the brink of destruction. Now, what does the book of Jeremiah say about the spirit? Jeremiah says, "Then the word of Yahuwah came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in thy belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." So you see, the Most High knew Esau. And he knew Esau and Jeremiah. If he knew Esau and Jeremiah, then he knew you. We exist because we existed. Our spirits are experiencing humanity for a purpose. We need to wake up to this reality. You have to ask yourself, are you doing what you are supposed to do? Now, time is short, brothers and sisters. Let's get to work. Happy Passover, and happy Freedom Day.
Moses, Moses, lay your rod in that Red Sea. Lay your rod, let the children cross in that Red Sea. Pharaoh host God knows. Children cross.